What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour numero dos of the Rob Brown Show goes now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo with you this and every weekday morning from 6 until 10 a.m. live and in living color. Today's color, scarlet and gray for the great one. As his team, the Ohio State University Buckeyes this evening, square up and show down with Quinn Ewers, Steve Sarkisian, and the Texas Longhorns. Trip to the national championship on the line. The winner of this evening's contest will go toe-to-toe, the football version of mano-a-mano against the Notre Dame-fighting Irish. Marcus Freeman and the gang knocking off the Penn State Nittany Lions with a damn near walk-off FG last night to take themselves to the Natty. We'll talk about the game. X's and O's. We'll scheme this thing out for you later in the show, Zo. But Buckeyes to cover. That's the pick early.
Is that but cover, but win? So you're not saying win. You're just saying cover.
No, cover. No, you're 6.5-point favorites. To cover, you have to win by a full tutty or more.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Buckeyes win this thing and move on as the 6.5-point favorites. And I've told my buddies who live in states where it is legal to gamble on sports, a.k.a. wagertainment. Take the Buckeyes 6.5 because that thing will be 7 by the kick tonight. There's going to be an influx of money on Notre Dame or on Ohio State tonight, and it's going to move that line to 7, the full touchdown. Take it while you can get it at 6.5 if you're allowed to gamble.
I'm trying to think how long of a nap I need to take, you know, this afternoon.
You're staying up all night for this one. You're watching till the final whistle.
I usually
tonight.
Stay up late on Friday anyway. So Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, but what's late for you on a Friday?
8:30? 1:00, maybe.
1:00?
Yeah.
Okay. Lonzo's a little party animal.
By the way, every once in a while, when you're up that late, just check the Xbox and you can see if I'm up or not.
That's also true.
I could have fallen asleep with the controller in my hand, but there's a good shot that I'm up and I'm playing. So after the game tonight, I will be very hyped. One way or the other, I'll go in there and play a little bit to calm down, and then I'll go to sleep.
Lonzo don't get hype. He stays hype. We're going to talk about that game. Yes, indeed. We're going to talk about that game a little bit later on in the radio broadcast. So stay tuned for that one for you. Amped for Life says, Southern snow reporting is ridiculous. A report of 1 to 3 inches equals flakes that do not stick or dusting. Not born in the South, but been here. Oh, of course, my man Amp jumping in here, running the comments quick. Not born in the South, but been here way longer than anywhere I've ever lived and not leaving. Just making my way to the OBX out of Charlotte, the least southern city in the South. You haven't been to Miami, my dear friend. He said, living in walking distance of BOA, I always say I live here for the Panthers and hate Charlotte. Worst, most rude, annoying city in North Carolina. Tell visitors, do not judge my state by this he said garage. I assume that meant garbage. But I like just calling North Carolina a garage at this point. Here's what I'll say, Amped for Life. The last 2 days have been absolutely hilarious to me. And it's been hilarious to me because everyone I know that has moved here from the north are like, you bunch of pansies. Like, stop acting like it's the day after tomorrow. Maybe relax. It's 1 to 3 inches. And all my people from here are like, dog, bread and milk. Get the bread and milk. Everybody get the bread and milk. Here's what I'm going to say, Amp for Life. The truth is somewhere in the middle. It is not a blizzard. It is not something that is going to cause mass chaos and pandemonium. However, I have spoken with people who do this for a living. And what I've been told is because we had a number of consecutive days where it was very cold outside, even 1 inch will stick to the ground because the ground temperature is cold. And if it sticks to the ground and we get more than an inch or two, that's when it starts compacting on itself and forming ice, which is where the danger comes from. But there is also the concern that ice accumulation from it being cold and there being snow on power lines, on trees, etc., when you compound that with many trees that are still damaged but not all the way down from Hurricane Helene a couple of months ago, there is the possibility of trees and power lines coming down because already damaged trees and infrastructure having the weight of ice piled on top of it may pull some stuff down, which is where the thought of power outages and all that may come from. So here's what I'll say. Don't like freak out, but be prepared, be ready, have your contingency plan just in case. If the power goes out, have a generator, have somewhere that you know you can go, maybe a neighbor's house, whatever. Have a place ready in case it happens, but also don't go out there and panic buy all the bread so nobody else gets any.
So here's the problem, and maybe the best thing to do is like this afternoon just go out and look up in the sky, because the problem is, in this area, they get really excited when snow happens, and I've lived here now over half my life. They get really excited when there's a possibility of snow. They get wrong a lot. I'm not saying they're going to get it wrong today, but just a few degrees, and it's just rain. So it's usually, I play it by ear. It's good to be prepared, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's rain. We'll see.
We will.
We'll see. This afternoon, we'll see if I look out, and hopefully I'll be at home by then. Maybe. I don't know. But if not, if we look out and we see the flakes falling, I will tell you that a lot of places are closed today, and the roads this morning were not nearly as busy coming into work as they normally are.
It was definitely, yeah, for sure. For sure. I was running about 15 late for work today, and 15 late usually means I get hit with the train, which I did. Had to wait for the train, which may be 5 more minutes late. Had to wait for the train, but then ordinarily what it means is like there's a solid amount of traffic around 5 o'clock. I assume people who are headed to like 6 o'clock jobs. There was nobody this morning. It was dead out there today, which like cool, good with me. But just be careful out there today as we watch this weather pattern continue to develop throughout the day until we figure out whatever's going to happen. Lonzo said that his apps are telling him snow potentially around 1 o'clock is when it could theoretically start. But I was told yesterday that if it's going to snow, it will more likely be in the late afternoon hours because, the temperature's got to drop. When it's the middle of the day, the full sun's out and heating those clouds from above, then it kind of sometimes can melt the snow as it's falling. It'll likely be later in the day before it happens. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out moving forward. All right. It is 7:09. You got about 50 minutes and a half before you got to get to work, walk down the hallway, take that break. You know what I mean? Like, it's a snow day. Even if it doesn't snow, it's a snow day. Go to work, take that break, tell the boss man, like, hey, I'm here if you need me, but I'm talking sports. And if you're going to talk sports, you need this. Here we go. The water cooler cheat sheet, the top 3 sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office or not. It's a snow day. Take the day off. You have my permission. When you do, this is what you'll be talking about. Let's dive right in. Item numero uno. One half of the college football national championship has been claimed as the Notre Dame Fighting Irish knock off the Penn State Nittany Lions last night. 27-24 is your final yesterday evening. It did come down to a last-minute drive of the Penn State Nittany Lions that then turned into a last-second drive of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Why? Because Drew Aller in this game made an absolutely critical mistake. Penn State had the football. There was about 38 seconds left when Aller tried to throw back across the field, back across the body. Notre Dame got the pick in Penn State territory. They pick up the handful of yards they need. They bleed some time off the clock, and with 8 seconds left to go, former South Carolina Gamecock Mitch Jeter drives one. By the way, that thing knuckleballed a little bit. I tensed up a little bit, boys. Not going to lie. I stayed up late to watch this game. He hit that thing. It started drifting right, and I was like, oh, no. And then it just kind of whoop, cut back to the left, snuck inside the upright. The Irish claim the first of the two national championship spots with that 27-24 win. Texter said, just now turning on the show, boys, talk about Mitch Jeter, transfer kicker from South Carolina. We would have been 11-1 if he stayed at Carolina, in my humble opinion. Thank you for the donation. Another texter said, walk-off field goal from Notre Dame from who? Mitch Jeter, former South Carolina Gamecock kicker. Thank you for the donation, Gamecock Nation. Yep, former Gamecock gets the walk, almost, basically, walk-off field goal for the Fighting Irish. We'll talk more about this game. I've already broken it down back in the first hour. If you want to go back and listen to that, go to thefanupstate.com. When the show's over, you can go listen to the podcast version of Hour 1, where we broke that game down extensively. We'll do so again later, as well as give you our picks, predictions, prognostications, and projections for this evening's matchup between the Buckeyes of Ohio State and the Longhorns of the University of Texas. Let's move on to item number two. It is NFL Super Wild Card Weekend going down, and we do have news. The game between the Rams and the Vikings has been moved. The NFL made the announcement last night that the decision to move the game to Glendale, Arizona. They'll be playing at State Farm Stadium, the home of the Cardinals. The game was scheduled for Monday at 8 o'clock. The game will remain Monday night at 8 o'clock, but it will take place now in Glendale. The league said earlier in the week that Arizona was the contingency plan if Monday's game had to be moved. They did not move it on Wednesday. They moved it yesterday, in part because of, as I told you, it would likely be air quality conditions. The air quality was twice as bad as what is considered unhealthy in LA. And reporters at the Rams practice yesterday said that the fires were creeping closer to the point that smoke could be seen from the practice facility of the LA Rams. So between the air quality and the fact that smoke was within the area and creeping closer to SoFi Stadium, out of public safety concerns, the NFL has moved this game to Glendale, Arizona. The teams are on their way there. They will have a couple of practices. The LA Chargers are in the playoffs, but they are on the road as a wild card team, so they weren't worried about it unless they make it to the AFC title game as the highest remaining seed, which is unlikely. The Chargers don't have anything to worry about. The Rams were the home team, are the home team still in this playoff game, but they will not be at home as they've got to go to Glendale due to fire concerns. Let's move on to item number three. You ever been scrolling through the news, great one, and you read a headline and then you scroll and then your brain goes, wait, what? But did... Huh? And then you have to scroll back up to the headline that you scrolled past down because you're like, your brain is like, that didn't, no, I'm having an issue here. Yeah. That didn't make sense.
The worst part about that is when you go back and then you click on the article and it's, you know, it's just clickbait. But yeah.
This one's not. Georgia quarterback Carson Beck has entered the NCAA transfer portal. I was scrolling Twitter yesterday afternoon. Had to run a couple of errands. Had to go visit some family. It's family now. That's just how I say it now. Family. Had to go visit some family. And I was, I'll tell you how this happened. I left a facility out. I had to go visit some family. And I was on the drive home. And I got stopped at a red light on Wade Hampton Boulevard, down close to where I live. So I get stopped at a red light. And my phone is hooked to my car. And so whenever, like, I get a notification, I have an option on my car screen to push play, and it'll read me whatever that notification is, right? And so I'm sitting at the red light, and I have my phone set up to where when I'm driving, it only sends me, like, high-priority alerts, right? If my wife or my mother texts me, it'll tell me. If anybody else texts me, it won't tell me until I stop the car. I also have it set up to where high-impact sports headlines will come through. Because you never know when you, like, okay, I got to address this. So I'm sitting at a red light at Wayne Hampton Boulevard, and my phone dings with a push notification. And I'm like, yo, what is this? I'm sitting at a red light, so I push play. And my phone in my car, it's got the voice of a pleasant young lady, goes, Georgia quarterback Carson Beck has entered the transfer portal. And I'm like, yo, is my phone broken? There's no way. I'm like, no, that somebody screwed up, right?
So you argued with the voice?
Yeah, out loud, too. I straight up was like, nope, you're wrong. Nope. And then I'm driving, like the light turns green and I'm driving. And I'm like, there's no way. Now, 2 days ago, MLS, the Major League Soccer, had to apologize because they posted on their website an article which said a very large name from European soccer was transferring to an MLS team, which was not true. And the whole world was like, what? And then they had to come back and be like, yeah, that's our bad. Like, we were putting together a prospective article and accidentally published it, which, I'll be honest, has happened to me before. And you just kind of, you take it down. And if anybody catches it, you issue an apology for the mistake. But I'm like, that had to be a mistake, right? That had to be a mistake. Somebody was piddling around on the website. So I quite literally, Zoe, pulled over into a car wash parking lot, grabbed my phone off the passenger seat and looked at it. And sure as hell, Georgia quarterback Carson Beck has entered the NCAA transfer portal. You'll remember back on December 28th after the UCL injury in the SEC title game that caused him to miss Georgia's playoff game against Notre Dame, Carson Beck entered the NFL draft. Well, because of the UCL surgery, Carson Beck can't do anything to prep for the draft. So it makes sense he would come back to college football and spend a year getting his draft status back up. I just thought he'd do it at Georgia, but let's keep it a buck. After what Gunnar Stockton did in the Notre Dame game, he's that guy now. But there's one more aspect of this story. The rumor is, would you look at this? The University of Miami has reached out. And Carson Beck, who, for the record, is also dating one of the Cavender twins, the two young ladies that play basketball in Miami that are super big on TikTok, he's dating one of them who play at Miami. So he's going there for the girl and also because it is expected that the University of Miami could put multiple millions of dollars of NIL deals on the table for Carson Beck, who ain't that good. He ain't that good. I mean, he's good. But he ain't, like, NFL number one overall draft pick good. That's a lot of money for that dude. But, hey, get that bag, young man. And, oh, by the way, you get to go down there and spend some time with the honey bunny. Do your thing, young man. Play is going to play. All right, we'll talk more about that later on the show as well. I am Rob Brown, the Great Milanzo's on the ones and twos. A lot of football coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
3 Rod Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rod Brown, the great one, Alonzo, with you here on a Friday. Got to get down on Friday morning. Rolling through college and NFL football super wildcard weekend coming up for you this weekend. We're going to get into those games in the next hour of the show, talking some college football here on the radio program this portion of the show. Talked about it as item number 3 there just a few seconds ago. Georgia quarterback Carson Beck has entered the NCAA transfer portal, according to ESPN. Beck declared for the NFL draft back on December 28th, but is now reversing course and will explore a transfer. ESPN reports that Miami looms as the favorite for Beck, but the timeline for a decision is expected to play out over the next week. ESPN said a source told them that Beck's camp intends to listen to all potential suitors for the best situation. The source said, quote, it's a strategic thing, not an emotional thing. The 2-year starter at Georgia, who won a national championship last year and guided Georgia to an SEC title and a playoff bye this year, but had his UCL popped during that SEC title game that caused him to miss the second-round playoff game, a game that Georgia lost to Notre Dame, is going to have surgery. He will not be able to throw until March, which complicates the NFL draft process and will likely force him to miss spring practice wherever he lands up. Sources said the variety of feedback he got from the draft process led him to this decision. He changed his mind in the past 24 hours. He received advice, according to the source, that if he could return and wanted to, he should probably play another season in college, which is what Rob Brown told you about Carson Beck leading up to the playoffs. The source said that Beck could land anywhere between the first or fall as far as the 3rd round, with much of that uncertainty due to the fact that he would not be able to throw for a team in pre-draft workouts. Despite the injury setback, Beck will immediately become the most coveted quarterback available as a late transfer portal entry. ESPN also says in their article about this, while Miami looms as the favorite, there are other big brand teams that could jump out as suitors, including Texas Tech and Notre Dame. The 6'4", 220-pound senior went 24-3 as the Bulldog starter and was viewed as a potential number one draft pick entering the season. This year, threw for 3,485 yards, 28 touchdowns, 12 picks, and led Georgia to the SEC title game. We'll see where it goes. This is his 5th college season. Still viewed as a potential top 10 draft pick. Mel Kiper Jr. had Carson Beck listed as the 5th best quarterback in his draft rankings. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Like, maybe, I guess, ballpark maybe is the best I'm going to give you there. Miami has not added a transfer quarterback this offseason to succeed Cam Ward, the potential number one overall pick, though Miami has, according to sources, been scouring the transfer market, set on bringing in a frontline starter who can produce immediately like Cam Ward did for the Canes. There is also, again, the added storyline here, drama, that Carson Beck is dating one of the Cavender twins. If you don't know who they are, congratulations on being social media free in your life. I'm very envious. I'll tell you right now, the day that I am out of radio is the day I am out on social media too. But for now, you live, you love, you move on. He is dating one of the Cavender twins. They are in influencer celebrities?
They don't show up on my feed because it populates according to what you look at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
They're not on my feed either.
Okay, well, you kind of made it sound like they show up on your feed
the
time, and I just...
No, they do not show up on my feed. I just know who they are. I mean, they did when they were getting big, but they have fallen off of my feed entirely because I watch a bunch of football clips and not much else.
I was going to ask you who replaced them, but I mean, on your feed, I'm just
Sydney Sweeney.
Okay, all right.
And for the record, Kay, she's pretty. He is dating one of the Cavern Twins. They play basketball down at the University of Miami, which is another reason for Carson Beck to transfer down there. The big reason, unless he's just super smitten, the big reason is that there are rumors out there that Miami could NIL fundraise to the tune of millions of dollars to get Carson Beck to transfer down to DU, emphasis on DU.
Maybe it's a combination of all those things.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And for the record,
I'm sure money doesn't outweigh the other things. It's just, you know, it's all pretty even.
Hey, babe, would you break up with me for $5 million? And Carson Beck's like, I'll stay with you and get $5 million. I don't know that it's going to be five. I don't know what the NIL profit
looks
like. Doesn't
she already make a lot of money, NIL?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, so.
NIL and just being a social media influencer. I'm sure she is banking the dollars right now. So Carson Beck is likely going to end up being a Miami Hurricane. What's your thoughts on that? Let me tell you kind of where I've landed on this. Good for Carson Beck. Good for Carson Beck.
He is an adequate quarterback in the right system. He can play pretty well.
I would totally concur with that. I think he is good enough to be worked with. I think he is going to next year enter as, I don't think he's going to enter as he has in years gone by as a like, oh, this guy's a potential Heisman pick. I think he could be good enough. And I think right now, good enough is good enough for a lot of schools. Good enough is good enough for a lot of schools. You know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to play a clip for you real quick. I'll probably also play it later on in the show. Mick Cronin is the head coach for the UCLA Bruins basketball squad. Mick Cronin's Bruins, not too long ago, took a loss right on the chin. This Bruins team is expected to be pretty good. They have fallen to 11-4. They took a 94-75 beatdown at the hands of the Michigan Wolverines a couple of days ago. And in the postgame presser, head coach Mick Cronin, guy who's been to a Final Four, said this. He doesn't sound happy at all.
S-A-W-F-T. That's what I heard.
Soft.
That's what I heard.
I mean, that's literally what he said. He said, we're soft. I will say a couple of things. Number one, for the record, I like Mick Cronin. You know what I don't like? I don't like people who say it's everyone's fault but mine. That's what I don't like. I don't like people who work within an organization, whether they are the manager or the low man on the totem pole. I do not like people who go, yeah, it's everybody's fault but mine. I got more intensity. I got this. I got that. I got this. Unless you're Kobe freaking Bryant, I don't want to hear it from you. You're part of an organization. You're part of a team. It is your job, coach, to motivate. And if you have put together a team full of athletes who can't be motivated, that's on you, dog. That's literally your job description. Now, why are you bringing up Mick Cronin in this Carson Beck story? Because already I got people that are piling on right now. Oh, this guy. No loyalty. No loyalty. My man, he won a natty for you. He set you up to go win another one this year. The dude bought in. Do you know why Carson Beck's leaving? Money's probably a part of the reason. And I think I would be naive and frankly childish not to agree that money's got to be a part of the reason. I'll give you another reason I think that my boy is stepping out of UGA. I think he's stepping out of UGA because of the fact that we all, Lonzo, you and I, have talked about this. What Gunnar Stockton did for that team in the SEC championship game against Texas in the second half, what Gunnar Stockton did for this team in the Notre Dame game, a game that Georgia was very much in until they weren't, any of us think for a second Gunnar Stockton isn't the guy Kirby Smart wants to start next year? After what, Carson Beck was okay this year. It was good.
Yeah, was a call made to Carson Beck, or did he watch the game and go, yeah, I got to go somewhere else?
I mean, how could you not have, right? How could you not have?
I mean, he practices with the guys. He already knew how good he was, but he hadn't seen him in that kind of game situation, and he definitely showed out. So.
Yeah, I would think if you're Carson Beck, you look at this and you go, unless, and there is one way that this could have been fixed, which is Kirby Smart gets on the horn with Carson Beck, and he goes, my guy, if you come back, you're the starter next year. And maybe Carson Beck goes, good enough for me. It ain't like Georgia ain't got NIL money. I drive back to Florida a couple of times a year. Dog, I pass billboards all the way through Georgia of different companies that have Georgia Bulldogs up on the billboard repping a brand. Bob's Used Cars, and here's a big picture of, you know, whoever, whatever football player they got up there. It ain't like Georgia ain't got NIL money, okay? My bet is Kirby Smart never made the call and said, hey, Carson Beck, I'm staying loyal to you. You're my starter. You run it back next year, you're that guy. You are the man if you come back. It is all about you. My bet is Kirby Smart said, we don't guarantee anybody anything. Nobody's guaranteed anything around here in Athens, Georgia. And Carson Beck went, word. All right, good with me. I'll go somewhere where I am guaranteed something. And again, do you fault them for that? Because I don't. All right, we'll talk some more football when we come back. Let's look at Ohio State and Texas in the next segment of the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I want to play a clip for you real quick about the... Well, Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports. We were talking quite a bit about the playoff format, and we were talking about the bye games, right? The teams that caught a bye. All four teams that caught a bye lost. And the popular take on this has been that the byes are bad, right? Why would anybody want to bye? All four teams coming off the bye lost. Tom Fornelli yesterday, and I'm going to play this because I genuinely want your thought and reaction to this. I'm going to get Lonzo's, you guys in the chat, facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Come hang out with us, watch all 4 hours of the show live. Tom Fornelli had this thought on playoff buys. So he says, of the four teams that caught a bye, Boise State just wasn't that good. They just weren't in the mix with the big dogs. He points out that Arizona State lost, but it took them double overtime against Texas, the SEC runners-up, to lose. He points out that Oregon lost, but Oregon lost to Ohio State, who right now feels like a wrecking ball in these playoffs. And the other bye was Georgia, who was playing with their backup quarterback. Honestly, Lonzo, I think Tom Fornelli has a bit of a point here. I think he's got a bit of a point. I think all of us reacted to the bye. I think all of us reacted to the bye and said, well, all four teams lost, therefore it must be bad. But I think if you really do look at them as four individual games in context, I think what he's saying makes sense. Arizona State caught a bye, yeah, but it took Texas, the SEC title holder, or SEC runners-up, double overtime to beat them. And if you believe that it was a missed targeting call, Arizona State could have, should have won that game. Now we're 1-3. If Carson Beck plays for Georgia, I'm not saying Georgia beats Notre Dame, but they obviously have a better chance at beating Notre Dame. Now we're looking at 2-2 for the bye week teams. If Will Howard didn't step into a phone booth and come out wearing a cape and his underoos on the outside, that if Ohio State that played in Michigan shows up, maybe Oregon wins. But Ohio State right now is not just odds-on favorite to win the Natty. Not beat Texas, to win the Natty right now. That team's a wrecking ball. And then Boise State, again, Mountain West champs. Like, even I, who defended Boise State's inclusion in the playoffs, also acknowledge the likelihood that they win a national championship is exceptionally low in this case. If you look at all four games, the context and the nuance of those games as individual games, Lonzo, I think Tom Fornelli has a point.
He does, but I think at the same time, you're looking at quality of team. I don't know. I think you eliminate some of this stuff if you just get rid of the automatic bids. And also, 16 takes care of that too. There's no buys.
Here's my thought, because we talked about this on the stream a little while ago. This is the other reason to come to the stream. We have conversations off the air that sometimes make it to the show and sometimes don't, but you can interact with Lonzo and other listeners on the stream. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch.
A listener, Lonzo and other listeners.
Yeah, can interact with Lonzo and other listeners on the stream.
That just means I'm just a listener.
No, you can interact with Lonzo. Okay, you can interact with Lonzo and listeners. It means that the subject of the sentence is a listener, therefore they can interact with other listeners.
I just want you to be right.
If you were all listeners, I would say you can interact with listeners, including Lonzo. That's different. The point here
apologize, you know, for trying to correct.
Yeah, stop. I'm never wrong.
It was a little confusing, maybe even demeaning. I mean, depending on your perspective.
So, I think that we may have overblown the play. And I'm guilty. I was in that conversation, too. I was like, oh, look, this is, the buy's got to go. It's bad. All four. But I really think Tom Fornelli provided some context and nuance of this conversation that was probably needed. Now, the question mark here is 12 the right number? Because the buy conversation is here because of the number 12. If we go to 8, there's no buy. If we go to 16, there's no buy. If you stick at 12, there has to be 4.
All right, how much of a sample size do we need before we believe that the buy is a problem? Is it 4 years? So if we go 4 years straight and every team who has the buy loses for the next 4 years, then you blame the buy?
I don't think you would probably need more than 2, right? Like, I think if it happened again next year in all four buys, then maybe I think there's a bit of a discussion. But I would also point out that the NFL playoffs, before we went to a format where only one team got a bye, back when it was two teams got a bye, teams that caught a bye lost with some regularity in the NFL playoffs. That's kind of the shtick here, is that you are putting the best 12 teams in. If you do it right, the teams that catch byes should not be like worlds better than the teams that don't. The teams that have to play in the first round theoretically should be able to maybe not be favored, but should be able to compete. And every year, even in the NFL, there are those discussions about, well, what if, right? There are those discussions about teams that catch a bye. Should they avoid the bye? Should they try not to get the bye? Because look, I was a fan of the New Orleans Saints back when Drew Brees was there. And that team was a timing and precision-based offense. That was a team based on chemistry. That was a team based on rhythm within the routes and Drew Brees' ability to be on the same page as his wide receivers on any given snap. And the Saints caught a bye a couple of times, and they just weren't the same team coming off the bye. So I understand the concept here. But I think Fornelli actually has a pretty good point here. That point being that if you look at the teams that lost and the losses, if you look at the teams that lost and the losses, and you really break the losses down into what they are, then I think Tom Fornelli's got a point. A team that caught a bye was Arizona State. They took the SEC runners-up to double overtime. And again, if you believe that was a missed targeting call, I don't. I understand. I'm not saying it was or wasn't. I'm saying I understand why it was not called targeting. If you believe it was definitively a missed targeting call, and there are at least a couple of dudes that I work with that have bought into the conspiracy, that was protect the SEC team.
Like maybe all the guys you work
like
with?
Most of the dudes that I work with have bought into the conspiracy that this was a protect the SEC
all right,
team.
I don't think it was a protect the any league. I just think it was a missed call.
I mean, maybe it was.
Yeah.
Maybe it was. But if you buy into it in any way, any stretch, for whatever reason it happened, then you probably also believe, at least to some degree, that Arizona State probably should have won that game. And if you have bought into that, then again, now the bye teams are 1-3. I'm not saying that Georgia wins the game if Carson Beck plays. I'm saying they have a better chance of winning if Carson Beck plays. Even if Gunnar Stockton came in and was a dog, and he was a dog for three quarters. But in the fourth quarter, when the pressure got turned up, Gunnar Stockton did not answer the bell. It's his first year as a starter. It was his first game as a starter. It was his first game as a starter, and he got thrown into the pressure cooker of pressure cookers. So to some degree, it kind of makes sense that he wasn't really ready to answer the bell there. It kind of makes sense. And if that's the case, then I would make the argument that Carson Beck, even if he's not as good as Gunnar Stockton, which we have no idea yet, he has been in pressure cooker situations. He's played for a Natty. He's played for multiple SEC championship games. He's won way the hell more than he's lost. They had a better chance at winning if Carson Beck, even if only for the fourth quarter, was a starter. Now we're 2-2. Ohio State is a different breed of cat in these playoffs for some reason. Oregon just got beat. And that Ohio State beats Oregon 5 out of 7 times. They were just on fire. There was nothing the Ducks could do. I don't put that on Dan Lanning. I put that on Ohio State's just a buzzsaw right now. They're an absolute wagon right now. So I'm not going, oh, Oregon lost because of the bye. Oregon lost because Ohio State kicked the crap out of them. That's why Oregon lost. And then, like I said, how many of you, honestly, how many of you picked Boise State to win? I didn't. I'm pro Boise State being in the playoffs, and I did not pick them to win that game. They're just not on that same level, or at least weren't in that game. So realistically, we were a targeting call and a backup quarterback away from teams coming off the bye going 2-2, and the two that the bye teams lost, very understandable. Makes sense they lost those games. So I don't know. I have been on the wagon of, I think we need to cut it down to 8. I think the right solution, and I don't know that I'm off that wagon. I think 8 might be the right number because did any team, Zo, 9, 10, 11, or 12, did any of the bottom 4 teams, in your opinion, genuinely believe that they had a shot at the national championship? You had Tennessee, who got dog-walked in round 1, SMU, who got dog-walked in round 1, Clemson, who got dog-walked in round 1, and Indiana, who got dog-walked in round 1. Did any of those teams, and even if we flipped it up, we could say, okay, we go down to 8 teams like Boise State aren't getting an auto bye. Did Boise State have any chance of winning a Natty? Probably not.
No, because when there was a 4-team playoff, there's always that 4th team that was like Boise State.
Yep. And they routinely got decimated.
That people were so excited that they were in there, and they usually got destroyed.
And I am one of them, again. But the in that spot, my belief is and was, I'm willing to give them a chance. I'm willing to roll the dice and give them a chance, in large part because we only got 4 spots. And I think a team should have the right to earn that spot, even if they come from a lesser conference. I think if we go to 8, there's room for those teams. And yet, we can shorten these playoffs off a little bit. We can get rid of the bye and everybody can play. But now that this argument has been made, and I do think it is a good argument, I think 12 is the number to stick at. I don't think we need to go to 16. If we want to go to 16, fine, whatever. I don't care. It's more football. And when we get to the playoffs, I want as much football as I can get. If they decide tomorrow we're going to 16, all right, cool. Let's go for it. YOLO, send it. Let's go. I can live with that. But I think 12 might be the right number. I think 12 effectively, though, gives us room to get the Boise States and the Indianas in. without having to, because who else would we have added to go to 16 that you would have been like, yo, for sure.
I don't.
You'd have got South Carolina, Alabama, and Ole Miss in. Yeah. Do you think any of those three, respectfully, South Carolina fans, do you think any of those three teams are competing with Ohio State, Penn State, Texas?
I don't know. One of the three may have been able to go pretty far in the bracket that Penn State and Notre Dame is in.
I mean, maybe. I think South Carolina could have beat Indiana and Boise State. I think Alabama, I think SMU, or not SMU, Ole Miss probably could have beat those two teams. I also think those teams lost three games. I also think Alabama scored 3 points at Oklahoma. If they only put up three at Oklahoma and that team shows up in the playoffs, they lose to Indiana. That team that lost to Oklahoma loses to Indiana.
You could also look at it, look at Ohio State and how they played against Michigan. I mean, a bad game is a bad game, and all those teams had at least one bad game, and that's why they had so many losses.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think I'm good with 12, because 12 doesn't make us...
They're not going to change it anytime soon, are they? I mean, they'll give it a few years before they would go to 16.
I mean it when I tell you I would not be shocked for us to go to 16 teams next year.
Yeah, that would shock me.
I would not be shocked. I think it's much more likely that we go to 16 teams in 2026. I think there's only one more year of 12 at most. I think it is possible they go to 16 next year. I think it is realistic we're at 16 in 2026. And we are going to 16, just so we're clear. It doesn't really matter how I feel about it. We are going to 16 teams. But I think I'd be good to stay at 12. I think I'd be good to stay at 12. I think 12 doesn't make us force anything. I think it gives us room to get the interesting teams in, the Boise States, the Indianas. I think it gives us room to get those teams in. I think it, but it keeps the competition level up. And I don't think the buys are a big reason to change anything. I think Fornelli made a really good argument of why we don't need to. I don't think the buys are as bad as we maybe knee-jerk reactioned them to be. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, it is time for the Audio Blitz, some of the best audio that we have heard since the last time we did the Audio Blitz back on Wednesday. We'll play that for you. We'll react and prep you for Texas, Ohio State, NFL Super Wild Card Weekend, and more after Lonzo gives you this sports flash.
Wow, what a clean intro there.
You're welcome.
Let me turn your mic off for you. There we go. Monday's what? Monday's wild card playoff matchup between the Minnesota Vikings and LA Rams will take place in Glendale, Arizona, out of concern for public safety due to raging wildfires. While no players or coaches have been directly impacted, journalists said smoke was visible from the Rams practice facility. The first college football national championship contender has been decided as the Notre Dame Fighting Irish beat Penn State in the championship semifinal 27-24. Penn State held a 10-3 halftime lead, but a Drew Auer interception inside the final minute allowed Notre Dame a field goal with less than 10 seconds left in the game to win the game and to move on to take on either Texas or Ohio State. That game plays tonight. Tune in Monday at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Wofford Terriers. It's Furman versus Wofford right here on The Fan Upstate.